Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8. I shared last week that I had some direction from the Lord to start reading, studying Proverbs. And just a real clear, simple thing. And I just got up out of my bed and knew right where to go. And I started reading in chapter 8. I'm using the Passion Translation. And I love this translation. If you can't get it easily, let me know. I can get it with one click, you know, so I can have it real quickly. Gotta love Amazon. But I've loved this translation. I love this in Psalms. And then Brian Simmons did Proverbs. I really trust his translations. And sometimes he'll state something and I'll be like, that's kind of out there. But when I read the footnotes, there's a reason he's done that in the Aramaic or the different, you know, the different languages that some of this is in. There are different readings and revelations, or he'll say it's intended. And when he does a word study on that word, it's there. And so he has done this rendition, translation, done a really good job with it, and it just has made things come alive for me personally. So we're in chapter 8, and let me just review quickly where we kind of left off. And my goal and desire to just kind of whet your appetite to seek wisdom and go after wisdom. Wisdom is an answer. And Psalms talks to us and says, don't lean on your own understanding, you know, that thing. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. And one of the things that is so detrimental to us is that we come to Jesus, we come to the Lord, and then we're prone to still... I know we all are. We're prone to still try to figure things out or go to the wrong resource, you know, and to get answers. And abiding within us is wisdom, and wisdom is amazing. And you need an upgrade on your understanding of it. Once you understand that something's accessible, then you'll tap into it. It's like if you're my age, you younger people have not had a problem with this, but I still do. I'm carrying, you know, the world's information around in my pocket. And I still have to slap myself sometimes. I'm asking a question and, you know, it's right here in my pocket. It's hard for us to get used to that. It really is. We're used to going, huh, I don't know how to do this, and who are you going to ask? You know, what's the height and the... you know, distance from the toilet that you install the toilet paper rack. I mean, you can find that out on Google. They have we have an answer, you know. So some of the silliest things and things you go, I'd never, you know, look that. It's like, it's right here, you know. So it's great. It ends debates and discussions and arguments. You go, oh, well, let's just Google it. I now use Google to find scriptures. Why fumble through 25, you know, chapters of the Bible thinking all I have is a phrase that doesn't make sense? And so I just Google it and I get right to exactly the verse I'm looking for, you know. So great resource. But wisdom is not spelled G-O-O-G-L-E. And wisdom is not spelled M-O-M or D-A-D. Or P-A-S-T-O-R or, you know, or whatever. If you are a parent, we've all been parents. If you're presently a parent of little ones, I believe, I always tell parents this, in the end, you know, if you'll get to that really settled place in your heart about what to do with each child, you know truth, you know you have wisdom for your child if you'll tap into that. It's always, I've observed a lot of families over the years, and it's always tragic when I see a couple making decisions about their children that come from peer pressure, even from the church or from whatever. Now, we need to have boundaries and parameters, and I want that to be rooted in truth, but there are so many things, especially our generation, that we did to our kids that were just like someone said, you should never do that. Well, maybe you should never do that, and maybe that was just out of a superstitious, stupid belief, and who said, you know, anyway. So I believe abiding in every parent, if they will tap into wisdom and ask for wisdom, they'll be much further ahead, and wait for it. Wisdom is mysterious, and I told you I'm not going to try to define. Wisdom is personified. It takes on. It's one of the only things that is so personal. And as you read in chapter 8, it's, you know, her, she, it. If you have it, I was with the Lord. You go, whoa. Now, I'll just say where I am, because I've looked at this for a long, long, long time. On one hand, we can say Jesus is wisdom. I'm not going to argue with that. But here's what I actually believe. I'm more prone to believe that wisdom is the Holy Spirit. Like the person of wisdom, I believe, is, if it's personified. I'd never argue with anybody about this. It's not that important. But I believe it's the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember, here's Jesus, born of a virgin, born under the law, comes, he's born of a woman. And he comes to this point right before he enters into ministry, and he gets baptized by John. And what happens? There's an event there that they observe. And it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him, not a dove. We illustrate that, and we always draw a picture of a dove, you know, coming down on Jesus, but it's like a dove. And at that point, and we see in Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 2, Isaiah 11, 2, but the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and it's talking about Jesus. And then there are three sets of things. And again, there's this, some teachers teach that seven different spirits. I've never been comfortable with it. I've looked at it. I've considered that. I've kind of believed that for a while. I'm like, no, it defines it. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And then these three sets of things that are characteristic of the Spirit of the Lord being on him. And the first one is the Spirit of wisdom, you know, and revelation, Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So the Spirit came on him like a dove. And here's what's unique about doves. Any of you that observe doves, has anybody ever actually observed doves, watched doves, seen doves? The sound they make, if they're just sitting somewhere peacefully making a sound, it's like a cooing sound. It's a neat sound. But they're very unique. They do make another sound that's actually more predominant. And that sound is that when they land, there's the sound of what? How many of you have you paid attention to the sound of a dove landing? If a robin lands, you know, it just kind of drops out of the sky. Whee, bump, bump, bump. You know, they kind of hop a little bit and go after the worm. Every bird has this unique way of coming down. And, you know, there's the loony bird that kind of crash lands, the albatross. And, you know, all of those things have a unique way that they land. But the dove, when it comes, it makes a lot of sound, not with its vocal abilities to vocal, but with its wings. And there's this, and it makes a lot of sound. And what's unique about the Holy Spirit? Sounds, always sounds of wind and air, and, you know, always this swirling, you know, there's the sound of a rushing mighty wind when the Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. Always this sound of wind and the sound, and the Spirit comes upon Jesus. Jesus is full of wisdom. But the person of wisdom, I really believe, is the Holy Spirit. I didn't mean to get this adamant about this, but I feel a bit passionate about it. It's very important for you to understand wisdom is something out there to get. Though we need to get it, wisdom is in you. Wisdom is on Jesus. He was full of wisdom because on the earth, we see the Spirit come on him, descend upon him. He was full of wisdom and of might and of all these things. It is the person of wisdom, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not about trying to get it as it's outside, but it's tapping into something that dwells within you, but you need to become aware of it. I noticed a little while ago I was getting emails from one of my credit card, and it was telling me some of my bonus points or some kind of bonuses or some kind of things that are in that are about to expire. Now, I didn't bother going after that because they want me to buy things, you know, because I can get it on sale that I really don't need, whatever, you know. Use up your bonus points. I'm sure there was some catch to that. It doesn't matter. Maybe I lost them. It doesn't matter. But here's the point. There was something there that I needed notified that it was accessible. And it's always right there, you know, right behind the plastic, and get on my computer. I can look for what my points are. And I let them build up and use them for whatever, a rainy day. A car when I get to go to California, you know, that was a nice, whatever. Pay for the rental car to drive around Northern California. Sweet. Wisdom is abiding in you. If you have received Jesus and then been baptized by his Spirit, you have it. I'm going to send you a little mail this morning, email. Available to you now, just waiting for you to access it, are words of wisdom for your life. I'll just pick up at verse 14. I'm just going to run. You will find true success when you find me, a person, for I have insight into wise plans that are designed just for you. Do I have your attention? So once you identify where wisdom actually is, when I need something and I find out where the answer is, if I'm needy enough, if I'm desperate enough, I make haste to get there. I look it up. I tap into it. I go after it. Everything else gets set aside. No, don't bother me right now. I've got to do this. I got to go after this. I got to finish this. I found out where the answer is. I've got to break in. I hold in my hands living understanding, courage, and strength. Who couldn't use that? How much is bypassing us, going past just because you don't have the courage or strength to do it? The sad truth is, there are times when there isn't time to sit and ponder whether you should go after something. I don't encourage spontaneous behavior. However, that all goes out the window when it comes to life in the Spirit and the things that, and you got to be ready to go. Just make sure it's not your flesh holding you back. Sometimes wisdom will tell you to wait, so you've just got to discern it. But if you have wisdom, you'll know. Do you get it? Nobody else knows. You keep asking everybody, but they don't know. Could we just settle that? They may be really smart, but they don't know. They don't know for you. Because there are hidden things here that are beyond their understanding, and whether you intentionally tell them all or don't, and it doesn't matter. Wisdom knows, the Spirit knows. They're already waiting for you. Verse 15, I empower kings to reign and rulers to make laws that are just. in that religious slash political spirit, we find fault, we have suspicions, we whatever. Those two are two, they're two brothers that are little demons. They're always together, and they're not good, you know. They're not good on you. They will beat you up, and you go following them around. You're not gonna prosper. But wisdom discerns, and a ruler that taps into wisdom is amazing. Rulers aren't bad. Rulers without wisdom are bad. Kings are not bad, don't have to be bad, but kings without wisdom are bad. But peasants without wisdom are bad too. The poor without wisdom become thieves, right? It's not a good thing to have or to have not. It's not the point. It's about what's inside of you, regardless of your stature, your position, your wealth or lack of it. One's not better than the other, the haves, the have-nots. But who has the Spirit? Who has wisdom? Verse 16, I empower princes to rise and take dominion, and generous ones to govern the earth, whether I think they should or not. You know, like, have you ever observed in our little living rooms, our thrones in the living room, where we make judgment, we judge all things? As you sip on your beverage and munch potato chips, you know, where we discern great, great matters. Have you ever... Somebody should just take a video of us sometime when we're watching the news or watching things, you know. Do you know how ridiculous we look? In our little caves, they're decorated and heated and air conditioned and whatever, but from that place, that position, oh, we're just so profound. Verse 17, I will show my love to those who passionately love me. We were singing this song. That's why I just hung out there today. We love you. And the more we spend and posture ourselves to love him, I will show my love to those who passionately love me. Wisdom speaking. Love me, I love you back. I first loved you, but you respond to my love and I'll pour more out. It's reciprocal. It just rolls. It moves. He's always first. He always takes the first step. But he waits for the response. Will you love him back? Love has to have a choice, or it's not love, remember? Love chooses. We're all caught up in our romantic love and our attraction that's probably not love at all half the time. Be careful with that thing. But love is always choice. Love, it should be very passionate, but it comes out of a place of choice, of choosing. I'll show my love to those who passionately love me, for they will search and search continually until they find me. But again, let me tell you, the search isn't up there somewhere. You don't have to go to a high mountain and yell for wisdom or try to find wisdom. I never forget one of our vacations, Phyllis, when we were very young. I believe we're down in the Smoky Mountains, perhaps, and we walked up that mountain, walked and walked. I mean, we were young and we about wore ourselves out doing this. We get up to this high, the top of this path that went on forever. I don't know how many miles we walked up, about killed us walking back. I'm getting a number, six. 6 miles up. And we get up to the top. Remember how quiet it was? We walked right up into the clouds. So you couldn't see, and it was eerily, that I'm not using my words. It was eerie. It was quiet. It was still. There was no wind. There was no air. It was, and you're up there, and you're like in this place, like, I don't know. There was like an we're up here, you know? We're in something. We're just in a cloud, that's all. We're just higher. Nothing was different. There was no access point up there. Do you know? I mean, we didn't walk up there to look for that, but I don't know what Phyllis was thinking, but it was just like, whew, you know. Another time we were in the Rockies with Eric and Sandy, took us out to Colorado, and we were in the Rockies, and we went up with Sandy to a couple of these like super high places, and there are rangers standing around. You know why the rangers stand around on top of a mountain? They're looking for lightning, because it doesn't have to be a rainstorm for it to be dangerous up there. And they watch, and they're on their walkie-talkies talking to weather stations for all these ridiculous tourists that just have to be up there. Hoping none of us end up looking like a character off of Ice Age or something like that. You know, remember the squirrel? Kept getting zapped and burned. What if wisdom is in you? You just need access. I believe this. If you received His Spirit, wisdom's abiding in you. Just find the keypad, punch in the numbers, open that up. Last week I talked in verse 13, it says, wisdom pours into you when you begin to hate every form of evil in your life. So we got a clue. Just start hating evil. You know what it is. The attitudes, stop explaining it, stop justifying it, just start hating it. Not people, it, not yourself. That doesn't help either. Hate yourself, it doesn't help. But hate what's evil. That's very crucial key. And then we talked about pompous pride and perverse speech. And I described perverse speech is when you use your mouth and your voice for something other than what it was intended to. So when you're bad-mouthing people and when you're bad-mouthing yourself, when you try to correct things by intimidating people, yelling, scolding, all the things we use for our language, instructing other drivers. I'm just saying, most of the time that's probably perverse. Even if you don't actually swear, it can be very perverse. To realize you are given the ability to speak like your Father in heaven, and to use it for something other than what He uses his mouth for and His voice for is perverse. It's using it for the wrong intention. Let's go on. Verse 18, unending wealth and glory comes to those who discover where I dwell. The riches of righteousness and a long, satisfying life will be given to them. Verse 19, what I impart has greater worth than gold and treasure, and the increase I bring benefits more than a windfall of income. The lottery. There, I just said it. Do you understand where all that? I mean, I just have to vent for a moment. Do you understand? I mean, this thing's still going on. Do you know where all the money comes from? Poor people. The poor, when you look at it, you go, this thing's vile. This is evil. The whole thing is subsidized predominantly by poor people. People with this mentality, people looking for a windfall. Play it or don't play it, I don't care. Let's call it what it is. It's the hope, and we live in this thing in our culture, our society, where we're always looking for that. We think, if I got a windfall of money or resources, it'd fix everything. No, it won't. Do you understand? If you inherited great wealth today and you have got issues and you don't have wisdom, you still got problems? Matter of fact, it's going to get worse. The increase without wisdom is not good for you. I'll just say it. It's not. So you want to really go after your stuff? Go after this. Before you need quick fixes, you need wisdom. Before you need new relationships, this is what our culture is doing. Oh, this relationship's not working out. I'm going to go get a new one. Guess who just showed up in the new relationship? You. Selah. Verse 20, I lead you into the ways of righteousness to discover the paths of true justice. Again, here's another heart cry. Justice, I want justice. I want to be known. I want to be understood. I want this settled. I want this right. We camp in, camp out at that spot. We drive a stake and we go, I'm not leaving here till this gets fixed and worked out. The years start going by. You know those pictures where it shows someone young and then, you know, the next scene is gray hair, look like me, longer beard, you know. Still in the same spot. Do you, honestly, do you want to be that person? Have any of you been around long enough to watch people as they age? Serious question. Have you observed? And have you observed the aging of truly righteous and of the godly and of those that have wisdom and have peace with the Lord? There's a major difference. Even in their physical appearance, major difference, no comparison. Verse 21, those who love me gain great wealth and a glorious inheritance, and I will fill their lives with treasures. I'm good with that. If I have wisdom first and I'm in a posture where I can, are you in a place yet where you can receive increase? I remember a while back, I asked this question. Here's the question. Go, I need more money. And here, let someone just say it. Let wisdom speak. Are you ready for it? Like, really? I want to prosper. Okay, good. Are you ready for it? Are you good? Is this good? Because if you're not in a good place, that won't help anything. We need wisdom. Let me back up. Jesus, I mean, what could he be lacking, honestly? What could Jesus be lacking? And yet we see this marriage of the person of the Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus, the person of the Son. The Spirit comes on Jesus. Jesus was full of wisdom because the Holy Spirit was on him, in him, on him. And we even have the documentation that there was a specific event in time where the Spirit falls on, comes on him. So how did he roll? Wisdom. Verse 22, oh boy, this just gets better. If you can just let go, I know you're all dreamers at heart, so let's go for this. Just get out of your little religious box and just dream. Listen to these words. In the beginning, I was there, for God possessed me. But that is consistent with the Godhead being together, the mystery of the Trinity. Even before he created the universe, from eternity past, I was set in place before the world began. I was anointed from the beginning, before the ocean depths were poured out, and before there were any glorious fountains overflowing with water, I was there dancing. And that is in the script. That's not a ad lib, add to something. That is actually what Brian Simmons says. Many translations have, I was born or brought forth. The Hebrew word for born is taken from a word that means to kick and twirl. Sounds like dancing to me. And as I just let myself go a little bit, let go of the religious, and just went with this, you start getting pictures of creation and you see the Spirit dancing. You can envision this dancing of joy and delight as the Father created and spoke from his mouth things into being. It's this, it's a response, this joyful, excited, you know, and dancing and twirling activity. That changes some things. That gets rid of the ultra quiet scene on the top of a mountain when you're standing in the middle of a cloud to a bright, ecstatic event, light response. Dancing, twirling, as a Father brings forth and creates things. This world was a masterpiece, just that part of it. Even before one mountain had been sculpted or one hill raised up, I was already there dancing. They were doing this together. When he hung the tapestry of the heavens and stretched out the horizon of the earth, when the clouds and skies were set in place and the subterranean fountains began to flow strong, I was already there. When he set in place the pillars of the earth and spoke the decrees of the sea, commanding the waves so that they wouldn't overstep their boundaries, I was there, close to Creator's side as his master artist. Teamwork, baby. They were creating the universe. There was this bringing forth. Cuss to those that have taken this away and reduced this down to theories and philosophies in ages and eons. This was a masterful event. I refuse to let go of that. Call me foolish. Daily he was filled with delight in me. Who else could the Father be delighted in this interactive way? As I playfully rejoiced before him, I laughed and played, so happy with what he made, while finding all my delight in the children of men. Whoa, where did this just go? With all of that, in case you doubted, God loves you. The Spirit loves you, delights in you, thrilled with you. You know that search you go on? Some of you will get this, some of you won't. This search you go on for the perfect puppy, the kitten. Let any girl get married, a little bit of time, it starts. Whatever career she has going on, hang it up, man. The baby thing's gonna kick in, it's gonna overtake everything else. Mister, you're going to be working by yourself. Whatever the plans were, more often than not, this thing kicks in and the babies are coming. You can try to shut it down, but in the end, you will lose. Our Father delights in, he truly, after all the majesty of creation, he loves you. He just loves you. He delights in the sons of man. He loves what you are. He loves what you're made of. That's really important to see. We can get so disgusted with ourselves and our kind. Have you been there? I can't stand people. I'll hear people say this. I can't stand people. How often have I heard that? How often I've said that? Occupational hazard when you're a pastor. Verse 20 to 32. I think that's where I'm at. Let me make sure. Yes, is that correct? Are we that? No, I'm good. So listen, my sons and daughters, to everything I tell you, for nothing will bring you more joy than following my ways. Listen to my counsel, for my instruction will enlighten you. You'll be wise not to ignore it. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word for the day, for every day, actually, joy breaks forth within you, and you listen for what I'll say. And when I do this and wait for that word of the Lord, and when it comes, all this, it's simple stuff normally. Once I have that, my step changes, everything, my countenance changes, I'm back on track. I can be feeling discontent, lost, whatever, at any given time. I can be crashed. It doesn't matter how, yesterday could have been perfect. And all of a sudden, I don't know what cues it off, and all of a sudden the heaviness sets in, that depression says things just come. We're living on the planet. I mean, things just stuff come. It only takes a memory, a moment, something to, or you run down a track emotionally and poof, you know, all of a sudden your body's, you know, releasing. I'm going to stay out of there. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what I've experienced. And just one thought, one memory can just send you down that road and your whole countenance changes. But if you wait on wisdom, first of all, you've got to believe it's there and accessible. And once you realize that it is, then you'll wait on it. You'll wait on it with intention. Go, I'm gonna wait here. Lord, give me wisdom. Show me. Give me understanding. Bring light. And you learn to access that thing. Don't run to all the other sources. There are 1,000. There are 1,000. Just, we don't even have to mention them. You know. It's what you want to do when you're feeling this. And even if it's not evil, it's still not productive. This is the answer. This is what you want to run to. Because this will put the spring back in your step. This will change the look on your face. This will cause you to have hope again if you tap into this, if you get this word. And we've all got plenty of things. I'm up against it with my family. I'm up against it with my raising my children. I'm up against it with my job. I'm up against it with my ministry. I'm up against it with my age. I'm up against it with my illness. I'm up against it with whatever. And you're overwhelmed by it. It comes and just whoom. You know the feeling. I don't have to describe that. This is the answer, wisdom. Wait on it. Wait for him. Pursue him. Pursue wisdom. And listen, as you listen for what I'll say, for the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me. Verse 35. It'll pour in. Every time you find me, it'll pour into you. Wouldn't it be, Are you getting a hunger for this? Do you realize what a person is like that's walking in wisdom? They're attractive. They're peaceful. They get a respect like, huh. You're following something else, aren't you? There's something different about you. You have something. You don't have to sell this. Just be it. You'll be sought out. Start to gain and strive. Things change. This is the key. This is it. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and the favor of the Lord. But those who stumble and miss me will be sorry they did. Those who stumble and miss me will be sorry they did. How many times have you missed waiting on wisdom? Don't keep your hands up. This morning, Pastor, the last time you had a conflict with, somebody you're close to, and you realize, this is every husband's like, if I just wouldn't have, why did I? I knew not to bring that up. I knew not to, Up against it, looking for an answer. Wow, I went for this. I got to the end of the chapter. Last verse. Or let me continue on this verse. For ignoring what I have to say will bring harm to your own soul. Those who hate me are simply flirting with death. Can you love? I beseech you, love wisdom. Let me finish with a passage out of chapter 4 of Proverbs. Solomon is writing this. He refers to his father, which would be David. Then my father taught me, saying, never forget my words. If you do everything that I teach you, you'll reign in life. So make wisdom your quest. New quest. Set a new. We all have our maps, GPS, or whatever. Punch in a new address. Punch in a new address. You've had goals and destinations set in there. I just would encourage you, hit the little X, wipe it clean, punch in a new address. A quest for wisdom. Search for the revelation of life's meaning. Don't let what I say go in one ear and out the other. Stick with wisdom and she'll stick with you, protecting you throughout your days. She'll rescue all those who passionately listen to her voice. Wisdom is the most valuable thing, the most valuable commodity, so buy it. Revelation knowledge is what you need, so invest in it. Wisdom will exalt you when you exalt her truth. She will lead you to honor and favor. When you live your life by her insights, you'll be adorned with beauty and grace. Amen. And wisdom's glory will wrap itself around you, making you victorious in the race. Are you intrigued? I hope. Earlier in chapter 8, it was like, you don't have to be smart. It's not about being smart. It's not about being about wealthy. It's about wisdom will come to you. It will, that part doesn't matter. You can have all these things over here where what your lacks are and your bad grades and your bad evaluations and your bad whatever, and wisdom trumps all that. That's what wisdom is. So that's okay. Wisdom comes and goes, but I can't play well. I can't sing well. I can't teach well. I can't work. I don't do this well. Wisdom comes. It's like, that's all right. Wisdom will come and compensate for everything you lack. And you can be a full-blown believer and be missing wisdom. I believe the church is full of this. We are bankrupt from walking in wisdom. Bankrupt, absolutely bankrupt. We're looking to, as believers, we're looking to all kinds of other resources to fix our problems. Be different. This is the real stuff. I'm telling you, and I love it when I hear believers that are walking in wisdom, they get promotions, they end up in places. You go, how did you get here? They don't even know how to explain it. If you have wisdom on you and you have this grace in your life, all the stuff that seems to limit you, it just won't anymore. Are you crazy enough to believe this today? Are you willing to let go of all the logic and go, I think you've got something, Pastor. Let's pray. And just in the attitude you're in, right where you're at, Holy Spirit, I believe that you are the Spirit of wisdom. You've come to abide in us. We'll reach out to you. Show us the way. We will take time to give you a place and wait on you. Not with hopelessness, but with expectation, you will lead us out of this. You will lead us in the way. The heaviness that we're feeling of life's decisions and dilemmas and struggles and things that seem to have no answer, you haven't even begun to speak yet. You have answers for medical questions we have and diseases and the solutions and the healings. You have answers for the dilemmas of our society and of our culture, of our communities, of our occupation, whatever it may be. You have great, we have access to you. You have answers that will bring life and benefit everyone. You will cause us to be rulers that are generous, that set up things, institutions, laws that are just and righteous and kind to the poor. So we come and we say, forgive us for ignoring and not placing the value and emphasis that we need to. We need wisdom is the answer. I guess that's the biggest thing. We just go, I think I need you. I think you're what I need. And you say you love the sons of men. You love the children of men. So you love us. And you love being in our affairs and you love helping us, as pathetic as we are sometimes. That's great news, that it causes us to feel, if we feel loved, we'll come for you, we'll come after you, wait on you. So thank you. We thank you that you love us, that you care about us, you care about our affairs. You delight in giving us answers in our messes. So as a body, we just say, come, be in our midst, descend upon us. Let us have a Holy Spirit encounter of the wind, the wings, the descending of the dove, the descending like a dove on us. The flutter, the flapping, the stirring up of the very air and atmosphere around us as you just descend upon us. Fall on us. Holy Spirit, we'll make you our companion. We'll choose your longing. Your longing to be, and we choose you. We'll make place for you. Abide on us. Find a resting place here, where we enjoy you, we honor your word, we honor the instruction that we hear. Continue to take away this dullness of hearing. We want to hear, we want to see, we want to hear, we want to see. We want to hear, we want to see. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good stuff, huh? Yeah. I hope you all really get that. That's good. That's ours. This is ours. This is ours. This is ours. Amen. Amen. I'll release you. Go and love and serve the Lord.